gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Jesus therefore, lifting up his eyes, and seeing that a great multitude cometh unto him, saith unto Philip, Whence are we to buy bread, that these may eat? It is written, And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 shilling worth of bread is not enough for them, that every one may take a little. It is written, One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here who hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? It is written, Jesus said unto them, Make the people sit down.
For God is just a prayer away.
So the men sat down in number about 5,000. Jesus therefore took the loaves, and having given thanks, distributed to them that were set down, likewise also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he saith unto his disciples, Gather up the broken pieces which remain over, that nothing be lost. So they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets with broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves which remained over unto them that had eaten. Bless thou the bread of life, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea. Upon that sacred page I seek the Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst bless the bread by Galilee. Then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all. Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me, thy holy word, the truth that saveth me. Give me to eat and live. With thee above, teach me to love thy truth, for thou art love. O send thy spirit, Lord, now unto me, that he may touch mine eyes and make me see. Show me the truth concealed within thy word, and in thy book revealed, I will see the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message entitled Body Food or Soul Food. All the writers of the 4 Gospels tell the great story of the feeding of the 5,000. And in this event, the Lord teaches us many things. Here is a short list of the things we can learn from Jesus. As he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and as we feed on the Word of God. The first is having faith in Jesus to follow his leading. Jesus saw a great crowd and had compassion on them, and asked Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This is the only time I know of where Jesus asked anyone for advice. He did not need Philip's advice any more than he needs our advice on any matter. But he did ask him the question to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Jesus always knew what he would do. He knew before the world began that he would be born of the Virgin. He knew before the world began that he would die on the cross. He knew before the world began that he would arise from the dead. And he also knew that he would ascend into heaven 40 days later. And he also knew the church would begin 10 days later. And he knew that he would return again, and the redeemed would rise to meet him in the air. Jesus always has known what he would do. So he asked Philip's advice regarding how many loaves it would take to feed this crowd. Philip looked over the crowd, made a few quick mental calculations, and said, 200 shilling worth is not enough that everyone might have a little. That may have been the amount they had left over in the treasury, providing Judas had not stolen it all. Philip had it figured out down to the penny. But there was one thing he left out in his calculations. He forgot to count on the Lord. Philip's faith was the same as a great many Christians I know today. I know people who have faith enough to do anything, if they have the money. I know of one church where the elders had a meeting to decide whether to spend a rather large sum for something they thought was greatly needed. One elder said they could not afford it because hogs are down. Ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God has never depended on the condition of the local hog market, fish market, steel market, or cotton market. While we can understand how this might affect the cash flow, I don't recall that Jesus said, "I have 5,000 hungry people before me and only 2 fish, so I won't be able to feed this crowd today because the fish market is down." Andrew informed the Lord at this point that there was a lad in the crowd who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. "But," said he, "what are these among so many?" When Jesus heard that he had 5 loaves and 2 fishes at his disposal, he said, "Bring them to me." That is the best advice anyone can get. Bring them to Jesus. When Jesus said, "Bring them to me," all human calculations could be forgotten. Forget the 5 and 2 of bread and fish. Forget the 200 shillings. Forget the number of 5,000. Bring them to me. And in the hands of Jesus, the sky is the limit. Whatever you have and whatever you are, bring it to Jesus, and he can work a miracle with it. Bring it to Jesus. When Jesus worked through us, he always uses what he has on hand. A good definition of a modern-day miracle in 4 words is, man's best, God blessed. Take what you have or what you are and tell the Lord he can use it. Is it not strange that princes and kings and clowns that caper in sawdust rings and common folk like you and me are builders for eternity? To each is given a bag of tools, a shapeless mass, and a book of rules, and each must fashion, ere time has flown, a stumbling block or a stepping stone. And now next is a lesson from Jesus showing how he works through us. Jesus did not ask him where he or they could buy bread. He said, "Whence shall we buy bread?" Jesus was not asking them to do it all by themselves. He included himself in this deal. He brought himself into partnership with them. It is good for us to remember as well, we do not do the Lord's work alone. When he gave the Great Commission to take the gospel into all the world, telling them, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," he said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He always works with us in his work. The third lesson is on the responsibility of the church regarding the lost. According to Matthew, before Jesus asked Philip, the disciples had first come to him and asked him to send the multitude away. Let them buy their own bread. It seems that the hunger of the crowd was no concern of theirs. But Jesus said, "Give ye them to eat." Was the Lord serious? How could they do that? Jesus knew they could do it with the power that he would supply. If the Lord wants us to do something, we can do it. Feeding the multitude was their responsibility, whether they knew it at that time or not. The church today may not be concerned about lost souls in foreign lands, but ladies and gentlemen, God will hold us responsible. Did he not say, go and preach the gospel to every creature? We must go, or encourage others to go, or pray for the Lord to send others, or support those who do go. And now comes a great lesson in trusting in God. This event, the feeding of the 5,000, is one of the most dramatic events that ever happened in the Word of God. Just think of it. Jesus told the apostles, make the people sit down. And they sat down. John says there was much grass in the place. Mark says they were separated in sections of 50s and 100s. Now just think about that. Imagine that you were there. 5,000 people are sitting on the grass in groups of 50s and 100s. Jesus stands up before them, holding 5 small loaves and 2 fishes in his hands. He looks up to heaven and gives thanks for what they are about to eat. Now, what would you be thinking at that time if you had been there? Jesus standing there with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, giving thanks. What is going to happen? Jesus proceeded to feed them all until they were filled. And just in case there were gluttons present and wanted seconds, there were 12 baskets full left over for them. If the Apostle Paul had been there at that time, he would have said what he said to the Ephesians later on. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, unto all generations forever and ever. When we ever have any doubts about the power of the Lord Jesus, do what the multitudes did that day. Just sit down and wait. Jesus can deliver. Next is an important lesson on what is really important when we assemble for worship. When Jesus fed the multitude, it was a staple meal. He had no entertainment, just plain fish and bread. If they were looking for an Epicurean dinner that day with entertainment, they would have to go someplace else. All the Lord was serving that day was plain old fish and barley bread. And there was no tartar sauce. But they all ate and were filled. Sometimes we think everything depends on entertainment. While we may enjoy on Sunday morning the floor show with a theatrical performance and dancing praise team, if the world is ever to be won to the Lord, it will be because of the soul food, the bread of life that Jesus provides. When they ate the loaves and fishes, John reminds us, they all ate and were filled. All classes of people found the nourishment they needed. No one said, I just can't eat this stuff. I eat it every day and I'm tired of it. All the men ate it. The few women and children ate it. They all ate it and were filled. The bread of life, the Word of God, is the only thing that gives the lasting satisfaction that will satisfy the hunger of every race in every century. They all ate and were filled. And now Jesus gives an important lesson on using the gifts of God. After they were filled, Jesus said, gather up the broken pieces that nothing be lost. Then they gathered them up and found 12 basketfuls that remained over of them that had eaten. He had given them, the multitude, a great gift, and he did not want to see that gift wasted. God has also given gifts unto us, and many of these gifts have been wasted. Whenever I see the great gifts that some have given by God as actors, singers, promoters, organizers, and see that in many cases that gift is used for the glory of self, I cannot help but think what a horrible waste of a God-given talent. Take the gift you have and lay it at the foot of the cross. I often think, after over a half a century of preaching the gospel, what a tragedy it would have been for me personally if I had never preached a sermon. Jesus has given us great gifts in his word, the bread of life. After all, Jesus did say, "I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. He that eateth this bread shall live forever." So don't waste it. Don't waste the bread of life. Many prefer to eat the husk the swine did eat. By many hours of a week looking at television, rather than the Bible they have in their home, and then rob themselves of a great familiarity with the Word of God, if they would only read it. Gather up the fragment that nothing be lost. They gathered up the fragments and put them in baskets. God supplies the food, but we must provide the basket for the fragments. We as Christians can eat the fragments in our basket all week long, daily, by our daily reading the Word of God. The reason most people in the church are ignorant of the basic contents of the Bible is because they have nothing in their basket. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost. In Revelation, an angel gave John a little book and told him to eat it. John ate the little book, and it was sweet in his mouth and bitter in his belly. When we eat the Word of God, it has a sweet taste, sometimes a bitter taste. There are sweet words of grace and hope, and words of rebuke and chastisement that we must eat for our own good. We have to eat the living bread of the Word of God on a regular basis to stay spiritually alive. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So gather up the broken pieces that nothing be lost. And now we take note of the importance of giving thanks to God for feeding us. Jesus gave thanks before he broke the bread. That reminds us that he told us in the Lord's Prayer to give thanks for our daily bread. However, our prayer for daily bread includes more than thanks for body food. Giving thanks for body food is dead food. We eat dead food and finally die. The bread that came down out of heaven is living bread, not dead bread, and needs to be included as daily bread. Remember again, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." However, eating the bread that came down out of heaven is not only true in the eating of the Word of God, it also has overtones of what the Lord did a year later when he instituted the Lord's Supper, as we read how he took the loaf and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Jesus broke the loaves when he fed the multitude, and he broke the loaves when he instituted the Lord's Supper. We eat the living bread when we devour his word, and Jesus becomes a part of our life. Without this, the ceremony of the Lord's Supper is an empty form. There was a famous gangster back in the 30s and 40s in the 20th century who kept a priest on the payroll, and the duty of the priest was to accompany the gangster whenever he was in danger of being wiped out, in which case he could be given last rites. Some people look at the Lord's Supper that way. If they observe the feast every Sunday, no matter what lifestyle during the week, they think their going to heaven is automatic if they should happen to drop dead before the next Sunday. And now the last lesson from Jesus regarding making the right choices of life. When the multitude saw what Jesus could do, a murmuring arose. Jesus for king! Jesus for king! Jesus had faced that temptation before, the Mount of Temptation, when the devil told him to make stones become bread. Here it was again. Feed the world, Jesus. Be king. This was the way to do it. Bypass the cross. Jesus did not come to give us the social gospel. Jesus did not come merely to reform the world. He came to redeem the world. Jesus did not want to be king their way. They were more concerned about body food than soul food. They could not understand how he could say, I am come down out of heaven, and how he could give us his flesh to eat. He asked them what they would think if they saw him ascend up where he was before. Jesus not only said he came down out of heaven, he said, I'm going back into heaven. Then we wonder what they would have thought if he had told them at that time what he told the apostles later on. If I go, I come again. That would really confound their minds. Jesus came down from heaven. He went back up into heaven. And someday he will come back down again out of heaven. But that's not all either. He not only came down out of heaven the first time and went back into heaven and is coming back again out of heaven. He will go back to heaven a second time and take the redeemed back with him into heaven. Paul tells us the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are left alive unto his coming shall be caught up in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. The conclusion of these lessons finds the multitude then and now preferring body food to soul food, because many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Jesus was at the height of his popularity at that time. Never during his ministry did as many follow him as at the time of the feeding of the 5,000. Then they left him. Jesus turned to the 12 and said, Will you also go away? He asked this question because so many were leaving, and we all know that people will usually follow the crowd. Another reason the crowd would leave is because of the doctrine. They could not understand how they could eat his flesh and drink his blood. Apply the doctrine to the gospel message, and it will always thin out the crowd. An elder of one church that was looking for a preacher told me they had to be careful whom they got. He said, the wrong man will drive half of the crowd away. He was right. The doctrine always separates the chaff from the wheat. I do not know of any New Testament doctrine today that would do a better job separating the chaff from the wheat than the second chapter of the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, the church was born. The gospel was proclaimed in regards to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those who believed it realized they had crucified the risen Lord and wanted to know what they should do. Tell them what the Bible says. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I heard one preacher on the radio read those words and then said, But Peter didn't mean that. Yes, apply the doctrine, and the crowd will leave. But when they leave, the Lord does not really lose them, because he never had them in the first place. Will you also go away? Peter answered for all the rest of the apostles and for us when he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and know that thou art the Holy One of God. Make your choice, soul food or body food.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time. by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.